Listen to the words from the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Let's stand together as we join our voices in singing Angels from the Realms of Glory.
The first scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. Here we have the majesty of God displaying itself upon these shepherds out in the field. It's amazing that God chose to reveal himself to these shepherds, these seemingly insignificant, lower class people who held no real rank and position in society. He could have revealed himself to governors or to people with great power and authority. Yet, as is consistent with the rest of Scripture, we see that God does look upon the lowly as well. It's amazing that he chose to reveal himself at all, looking at really the insignificance of men. You can think of the shepherds in this field at night, just looking at the vastness of the night and the stars, and how really insignificant man is in compared to the great creation. And yet, here comes the angel of the Lord with a message from God. And it's clouded with God's glory. And the proper response to God's glory, really, from unworthy sinners, is this fear that comes to them. And in one side, I'm sure they were just amazed at the beauty and presence that comes from being in the presence of God's glory. Yet at the same time, they are filled with this fear and their inadequacy in the midst of this great demonstration of God's power. And yet, as unworthy sinners that they are, the message is not one of condemnation, not one of destruction, but rather one of hope, one of reconciliation and forgiveness. Really, the greatest news that anyone has ever received. And you can think of how the psalmist reacted to pondering about God and his glory and who is man that you are mindful of him. And here is God revealing himself to these lowly shepherds. And the message today is It's the same for us. Let us contemplate with the shepherds how glorious God is and really how unworthy we are of Him revealing Himself to us. Yet, let us receive with the shepherds this great message of glory and forgiveness that has come to us, that God has indeed been mindful of man, and that He has come and dwelt bodily within us for our redemption.
And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Trace those words of the angel. He told the shepherds to not be afraid. But the shepherds were afraid, and understandably so. Because fear is a natural response of God descending to sinful man. He also told them that He was bringing them good news. A Savior is born. This good news is the gospel. And because He brought the gospel, He brought them a cause for great joy. And this joy was to all the people, because it wasn't dependent upon our abilities or nature, no distinction between people's race, gender, or heritage, or lineage, or wealth, or knowledge, or intellect, or power, or reputation, or anything else. All men are equal, and thus all men are in need. He told them that this was a sign. He said, "A sign unto you." The Savior is for the shepherds and for us. Of the world explain how man can ascend to God and show that they are worthy to be accepted. Christianity, however, is different. The message of Christianity is not that you can do it, but rather that Christ
Luke 2, verses 13 and 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" Our service this morning has focused on the angel's announcement to the shepherds. But the song we just did was a song reflecting on another group of men, who were irresistibly drawn to Christ. The wise men, see, were ancient astronomers, possibly even kings. And they studied the stars because they believed that the gods would communicate to humanity through them. And even in the error of these wrong thoughts and beliefs, God drew these men to their Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, like that song so beautifully conveys. There was nothing that these wise men had, or for that matter, any of us have, that we could offer to Jesus that He hasn't already left behind in order to save His people. See, the Magi, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh in order to purchase the God's favor. But how are they to know that the one and only true God would become a man? And He would be born to a young teenage mom in a stable in a small out-of-the-way town called Bethlehem. How were they to know that God in His sovereign plan had chosen to bestow His favor upon them even though they didn't know Him or worship Him? All they knew was that this star appeared. And for them that meant that there was a king of Israel born. You know, there's some debate as to what type of star that was. Some say a comet, others say a meteor, others say some supernatural event. But whatever that kind of star was, that star was partaking in the worship of the heavens. Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And these magi, these men, these wise men, they were witnessing this star taking part in the cosmic worship of its creator. It's no wonder, right, that they had to go and find who this star belonged to. See, this is the pattern of God drawing sinful men to Himself. It's the same pattern we see here in Luke chapter 2. This time, though, it's not the heavens. It's not the cosmos that are glorifying God. This time, it is the very inhabitants of heaven. The angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and He delivered to them this good news, the gospel. This angel tells them about the birth of their Savior. And verse 13 says, and suddenly, right at that moment, right when the angel of the Lord finishes telling them about the birth of Jesus Christ, immediately they see the angels of heaven praising God. You know, the wise men, they received a star declaring the glory of God. But these shepherds received a view into the spiritual world, where the angels are praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Wow, right? What an incredible sight that must have been for these shepherds to be out there in the dark of night, in the dark of their own spiritual souls, and then to suddenly have burst upon them the glory of God. What a tremendous night that must have been. You know, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in how wonderful and how exciting this must have been for these men, for these shepherds, to have glimpsed the glory of God. And we should be in awe, right, when we think about this, when we contemplate how God revealed Himself by His angels to these men. We should be in awe when we think about that. But there's something that is nearly as spectacular that we sometimes overlook. The angels, they were praising God. They were glorifying God. But they're observers. These shepherds, they were the very objects about which the angels were praising God. These lowly shepherds, these outcasts of society, these sinners, they were the very men on whom the favor of God rested that night. And because God's favor rested on them, they were at peace with God. See, favor with God is found in His Son, Jesus. And there is no other way to grasp a hold or to receive the favor of God. His favor cannot be purchased with gifts of sacrifice or gifts of service. That's what these wise men were trying to do. You know, it was the custom of their day to bring gifts to a new king in order to earn that king's favor. And so they loaded up their caravan with gifts to go and purchase the favor of the king of Israel. But when they saw this child, they fell at his feet. And they joined the cosmos in declaring the glory of God. And they presented their gifts to him. Not in order to earn God's favor, but because they had already received it. See, these wise men learned that night what the shepherds experienced possibly as early as 2 years before. Peace with God is found only in Christ. And Christ alone has earned God's favor by His righteous and perfect life. Oh, come, let us adore Him. For He is the Savior of sinners. And it doesn't matter what kind of sinner. It doesn't matter if you're a big sinner or a little sinner. It doesn't matter if you're a rich sinner or a poor sinner. It doesn't matter if you're an educated sinner or an uneducated sinner. It doesn't matter if you're a wise man or a shepherd. As Ron said earlier, it makes no difference. Because Christ has come to save sinners. Come and behold Him. He who is born the King of angels. Come and adore Him, for He is Christ the Lord.
When Ella and I thought of what we wanted to share with you regarding the candle of hope, we went to 1 Peter 1:3-5. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Alan and I have been given the privilege of lighting the first candle for Advent, the Hope Candle. It is so appropriate for us. Over the last 3 years, we have experienced job loss for 25 consecutive months. The loss of the church in which we were both raised is from childhood. The loss of our mothers, we have always known, to the confusion and darkness of Alzheimer's. And this past Thursday on Thanksgiving, the loss of my brother-in-law to cancer. To the Christian, hope is assurance that all God's promises are a done deal. God's hope is intended to sustain us and provide us with joy as we go through life, especially in the difficult times and trials. This is true in both Testaments. The hope of the New Testament is the same as the hope of the Old Testament, Christ's promised coming. The Old Testament prophets clung to this hope because no matter the hardships, pain, and suffering they knew, as Jeremiah says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And in the New Testament, Paul says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purposes." And so in God's sovereign plan, we were led to this church where the word is proclaimed openly and boldly and most importantly, truthfully. We did not despair during the unemployment as God bountifully provided for our needs, just as He promised. It was through this church that God enabled Alan's unemployment to actually end. And finally, we know that we will see our mothers and Larry once again with new bodies and minds free of all defects and ailments. So we wait expectantly for Christ's return when every knee will bow and proclaim Him Lord of all. This is our hope.
16th verse of that second chapter of Luke, where it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Can you imagine how those shepherds must have felt in that field that day, that night? Here there was one angel speaking to them, and then suddenly, as Brent pointed out, there was a multitude of angels. It must have been a very frightening and difficult situation for them. But yet, they had been called to that field for a purpose. And the question is, what was their response to all this that was happening? Well, their response was that they went to Christ. That was the right response to the grace that they had been given. Let's join together now as we sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Let's stand together.
And when they saw it, meaning when they saw Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart. You know, 12 days ago, my wife gave birth to our second son. And we received a card with a wonderful message in it. I'm going to read it to you. It said, your son is here at last. The waiting is over. And now those precious moments begin. As he wraps his tiny hand around your finger and melts your heart with that first little grin. And as he reaches up for you to hold him and learns to give you hugs and say your name, you'll wonder what you ever did without him. Your son is here. You'll never be the same. Isn't that a great little message to put? This card, it really captured the wonder of a new child. But these three verses for us, they capture the wonder of the gospel. See, what Mary and Joseph received, the message they received was not a message fit for a Hallmark card. What they received was the testimony of angels and of shepherds uniting together to worship her son as God's promised Savior. How is that possible? How is it possible, first of all, that the angels could worship her baby? Then how is it possible that these shepherds, these outcasts of society, would come search her out, search out her baby so that they too could worship him? How is it possible that men and angels could unite and worship? And the answer, it is only by the grace of God. You know, I've been preaching through the book of Revelation this year. And one of the things that we've seen several times in this book, in chapter 4, 5 especially, one of the things we've seen is the union of angels and men in worship around the throne. Here in Luke, we have the same thing. We have the angels worshiping God. And we've got the shepherds then observing that worship. And then they were so overwhelmed by this vision of God's glory, and so moved by the inner workings of the Spirit, that they had to go and search out this baby, this Christ, this anointed one.
And when they found him, they began to worship him too. They began to join in with the angels in singing his praises. But how did it all begin? It began with God becoming a man. Omnipotent God, omnipresent God, omniscient God, the one and only God, condescended to humanity, took the form of a man.
Now, this is one of the great mysteries of the Christian faith.
We can't really explain how Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. We can't really delve into all the details. We can set a few boundaries around this mystery. And we can say what it's not.
But how can we really explain it?
It's a mystery. And if you explain it away, you end up in heresy and you lose salvation. The mystery of the gospel is not just how did God become a man, but part of the mystery is why. Why did God become a man?
Why would God
announce the birth of his Savior to shepherds?
Why pick them?
They certainly were not worthy of such a grand announcement. And of course, now looking back through the full revelation of Scripture, we know that there is no one who is worthy
of the announcement,
let alone the grace that such an announcement would bring. But this is indeed the very reason why such an announcement was made to the shepherds. See, the shepherds, they represented the worst of society. They represented sinners.
And this is who Jesus came to save.
Jesus said as much in Luke 5:31. He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And this is our hope, that He has called us to repentance and faith. You know, I've heard many people complain about the doctrines of grace, saying that these doctrines make God unfair because He doesn't call everyone. And you probably heard Ron or myself answer that accusation by saying that if God were fair, He would call no one. Because all have sinned. And all sinners deserve death. But I want you to see Mary's response to the grace of God given to these shepherds. Mary, there in verse 19, she treasured up these things. And she pondered them in her heart. This word pondered is a weird little word when you try to get your mind around it. In the Greek, what it refers to is wrestling with conflicting thoughts. Here is Mary wrestling with these things in her mind, and she was overwhelmed by God's grace. She didn't question what was fair of God to do. She marveled at the wonder of the gospel. She marveled at God becoming a man. And she marveled at God saving sinners such as her. In her song, just a chapter earlier, she sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant." This is the mystery of the gospel. That God would find favor with men. Men who opposed Him. Men who sinned against Him. Men who drove Him to the cross and crucified Him. This is the mystery of the gospel. Ponder the goodness of God. Wrestle with it. Think about it. Dwell on it. Meditate on it. How is it that God could save a sinner such as I? Let's pray.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
After experiencing this majestic display of the glory of God, having seen the angels appear to them, and to sing about God's glory and His majesty, and then to hear the message of the incarnation that God would dwell with man. And these shepherds go and they see Jesus and they worship Him and they praise Him. And they find favor with God and they find peace with God. After all of this, how do they respond? They respond in doxology. They respond glorifying and praising God. This is the mission of doxology that is given to all who profess the name of Christ. Because all who profess Christ will have traveled the same road as these shepherds. We will have witnessed the majesty and the glory and the holiness of God. We will have seen our own sinfulness and our depravity and our need for a Savior. We would have heard the good news that there is a Savior and that His name is Jesus Christ. And we would have gone to Him and we would have been received by Him. And our sins would have been taken away and we would have worshipped Him and praised Him. And we will have gone away from such an encounter rejoicing and praising. This is the mission of doxology that is upon all who profess Christ to be their Savior. You know, in less than 1 month, we are going to be having the formal celebration, if you will, of the birth of Christ, Christmas Day. And even as we prepared this morning, this sanctuary, for the coming of Christ, I would ask each of you to take this next 27 days and prepare your hearts and your minds for this special celebration of remembering Christ's birth. How truly special it is that we are in a country where we get to set aside a day for the specific purpose of remembering that God became a man in order to save sinners like you and I. The question is, how do you prepare for such a remembrance? The answer is in the doxology. We go forth rejoicing and praising God in all we do and in all we say, because He is our Savior and Lord. So go from here today, pondering what you have heard, what you have sung. Go from here pondering as Mary did and treasure up all these things in your heart. Treasure up the mystery of the gospel. Treasure the fact that God became a man. Go from here and rejoice in the light of Christ. Let's do that. Let's close this morning. Good Christian men, rejoice. Please stand. They left singing the doxology, if you will. They left praising and glorifying God. So, receive this benediction, then let us sing the doxology together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.